Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Richard Ben Kramer is with us. Bill Russell, you want to go back to this, please?
Those three options, which are, you know, it's a fairly, a logical way of looking at it, and you say that they basically took the third option to establish an apartheid state. But I say that in reading your book and reading the front page of the newspaper, it's not clear that the current Israeli government is not migrating from number three to number two in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, in recent years, it has become much more reactive, much more violent. The Israeli government now doesn't stop or cavil at just flying in a gunship and sending missiles down on a neighborhood to try to take out one or another Palestinian leader. The carnage has picked up.
You don't have anything nice to say about Ariel, as we know him in the United States, or Eric Sharon. And you have nothing nice to say going all the way back to 1948.
Yeah, I have not only the history of Sharon from talking with his confreres and fellow commanders since 1948, but I have personal experience with him. I was a reporter in Beirut in 1982 when the Israelis encircled and shelled that city for months and months and months, starved us out. And it was brutal, and it was murderous. And it was Eric Sharon as defense minister who was running the show. Now, I am frank enough in the book to be frank enough here to say I was dead wrong about what would happen. You know, I used to say in Beirut in those days, I used to say, you know, there's one thing that will happen from this war, and that is Sharon is finished. They'll string him up by his thumbs. And, of course, it was God's humor to send me back to Israel a year ago, just in time to see Sharon not only as prime minister, but reelected as prime minister. So it shows how breathtakingly wrong I can
be. That's why you should stick to telling the truth, not the future.
You aren't kidding. And every journalist should learn that. But, you know, we're all too dumb to not say what we think will happen.
I want to go back to listening to you, and I just simply hadn't made the connection. Jerry Adams sat more or less where you're sitting recently. And he
Jerry Adams, the president of Sinn Féin.
And he, and he said, you know, the public understanding, the story, the wrong story, the propaganda story, is that this is about Catholics and Protestants.
In Ireland, that it's a religious story. And he said that is dead wrong.
And what he said, you know, from his perspective, what he's dealing with is colonialism. And in some ways, what we're talking about here, and this is the problem with the occupied territory, is a problem of colonialism. It's not just that, because we also have the British experience there, the French experience in that part of the world, now the American experience in that part of the world, you know,
And the Soviets,
you know, everybody has passed through there.
Right.
Except I think maybe the Chinese, I'm not sure. But give them time. But that it seems that colonial piece, particularly as you talk about the occupying and the destruction of the Israeli, the Jewish soul, that has been a consequence of that.
Yeah. It you know, there's a whole school of scholarship that basically revolves around the question, is Zionism colonialism? And I always shy away from those words because people mean different things by those big words, and in the end they don't really explain anything. The kind of writing that I like to do is to show people what is actually happening on the ground in detail to people whom they meet and can understand. And then, if they want to put a word on it afterwards, that's great, you know, and more power to them if they understand those words.
Part of the wonderful thing about what you do, and it characterizes, I can't say iconoclast in public very often.
To smash an icon is not all bad.
Or several of them, but what you do is precisely that. Instead of, you know, taking these big symbols, colonialism and imperialism and all these things, you know, take it down to the real world.
Tell
real stories about real people and you know, build from the bottom up rather than from this universal down. And the effect is iconoclastic. But it also has a ring of veracity.
Well, I think people understand their fellow humans. You know, if you met you know, by accident, let's say you're on an airplane or something, and you met a Palestinian guy who told you about his own family and his own situation, not as a political exercise, but because you happen to be sitting on a plane next to each other for 5 or 6 hours, you would understand that guy on a human level that no political discussion could achieve. And that's what I'm trying to do. I want to bring to Americans people whom they might not ordinarily meet.
You also say, well, since Bill brought up these three options, it's as if the option that has been chosen is to make it so horrendous that the Arab people who used to live there will just go away.
Right. And in fact, if you ask the settlers what they think will happen...
The Jewish settlers?
The Jewish settlers who are out in the West Bank or in Gaza, and they, you know, they're surrounded by an Arab population that far outnumbers them. And you bring up this inconvenient fact that they are, in fact, on Arab land and surrounded by an Arab population. You ask them what's going to happen. They say, God has a plan. They will go away. You know, I had a very seditious interpreter there, a guy I've worked with for 25 years, and one of these settlers said to him in Hebrew, God has a plan, she said. And my interpreter said, and he told it to you?
Well, this is very important because at this moment in the year 2004, there are people in the American administration who also have that sort of commitment to a religious perspective. And once you get that sort of unyielding, politicized approach to a big problem that leaves no room for, I mean, my goodness, God, from God's mouth to my ear.
God is on our side.
This is a problem.
Well, you know... Paula, I can't claim to be smart about the book business. Nobody's smart about the book business, and anybody who thinks they're going to bring out a book at the right time or the wrong time is just dreaming. But it's one of the accidents about when this book came out that America finds itself not only as an occupying power, which is what this book is about, but also in a war that some people want to characterize as religious. A clash of cultures or Islam against Christianity.
Religious wars.
And, you know, it's not fundamentally religious. And once you begin to try to see it as religious and try to see God's favor descending on one side or another, I think you got a dangerous loosening of your grasp of on reality.
You talk about two people early on in your context setting that to me were very very important. One was Martin Buber, who insisted that the role of the Jew was justice, was to bring
now, Martin
justice.
Buber is a very famous Jewish theologian.
Right. And that notion of justice and being essentially the human incarnation as a group of, you know, of trying to move to bring justice to the world around them, not just to themselves. And the other is Ben-Gurion and his role in the founding of Israel, particularly his relationship with the religious parties, which is much more serious and in many ways much more destructive than I would have thought prior to reading this book.
Well, you know, Israel was founded as a secular state. It was founded as a place where Jews could live not only in peace and hopefully security, but also according to their own beliefs, because like any group of millions of adherents, Jews come in all stripes and sizes. So what happened, alas, was that the Orthodox rabbis got some political power when the dust had cleared. They had certain things that were their perquisites and their prerogatives. And little by little, they began to tighten the screws until the entire state of Israel is now supposed to accord itself with their interpretation of the Jewish law.
They, the ultra-conservative rabbis.
Ultra-Orthodox, ultra-religious. Not only are they very strict, but it's an almost medieval view of Judaism and... God's relation to mankind and the state's relation to its citizens. So you know, more and more an American Jew who's raised, as I was, in a much more liberal tradition and in a much more secular understanding of the world, will go over there, and it's like going into Iran. It's like going to the Islamic Republic. It's so draconian, and the rules are so many and so bizarre that it's like going back to the Middle Ages.
Well, and you are very clear in saying, at what point is it any different to have a religious Islamic republic and a religious Jewish state?
Right. I mean, there is no moral difference. There's only a difference in the laws that the Quran happens to lay out, different from the Bible.
And they both happen to be children of the book.
They are people of the book, and in fact, the Muslims respect above all others, among non-Muslims, they respect people of the book who are the Christians and the Jews, the Bible readers. That's one of the reasons that I point out that this is not fundamentally a religious war. The Palestinians are not hating Jews because of the teachings of Islam. It's just, it's simply an untruth.
This is Richard Ben Kramer. We're all going to be back in a moment. Please do be with us. There's a great deal more to be said.